at these. Wait, I'm not done.
He does a cheek shake. Yeah, the truffle shuffle with his face. Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, the PC gaming podcast that's not so PC. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Emilio.
And I feel like we are officially influencers now. I feel like we've been pushing some product lately, you know what I'm saying?
Like Pulsar?
Like Pulsar, yeah. Lost Colony. A lot of people picked that up last week after we talked about it. Deep Rock Galactic hitting 1.0, a couple people picking that up.
Yep.
All because of us.
Yep. Mostly you. Those are your games. You know, you have time to play online. What happened the other day, dude? I was like, yeah, let's play Pulsar. And I sat down first time in San Emilio, and then fucking my baby hit her head or something, and I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
It like lasted exactly that long.
Yeah, it was short-lived. But yeah, Pulsar just continues to be a game that keeps on giving. Last week, I played more of it after I had talked about it. Learned how to play the engineer. Sniper put together a great video. It's on our YouTube channel. You can check it out. All of us playing Pulsar, some funny moments from that. And also, just a new side of that game opened up. I found out, you know, in my playthrough, I've become a bounty hunter. And I went to, you know, I went to a system to try to capture someone for a bounty. And in the process of doing that, there's a faction that really hates me, and they've been sending bounty hunters after me. So while I was in the middle of doing my own bounty hunting mission, a bounty hunter came in and tried to get me. So it was this really weird, chaotic situation. It was a lot of fun, but my ship is just killing it. Like, so many parts are upgraded. Like, that's my experience on my playthrough. Now, Sniper started his own playthrough, and apparently you can play this game where you just go around the galaxy selling biscuits.
I want to talk about this.
Yeah.
So just think about you and your personality and how it led you to bounty hunting, and then him and his Canadian biscuit personality, and he's off selling biscuits throughout the land, dude.
Selling biscuits throughout the galaxy. And that's really a way that you can play this game. There's an organization called the Fluffy Biscuit Company. Mm-hmm. I've done a few bounties for them, so, you know, I'm familiar with them.
Everybody's whored themselves out to the Fluffy Biscuit Company at one point or another.
They have some enemies, apparently. But you can get a ship where you go around and you create biscuits. It's like a little mini game where you create biscuits in Pulsar Lost Colony, and then you have to negotiate with people selling those biscuits. And there's a scoreboard, so you can see other people who are playing the same way you are, and they're on the scoreboard who sold the most biscuits.
Right. Are you on some sort of bounty hunter scoreboard?
No.
What, there's only a biscuit scoreboard?
Yeah, only for biscuits. But it's been fun because it's a very non-violent way of playing the game. The ship that you have, like, it's got a something you can use to stun people, but you really can't engage in any fights. So it's completely different. When we go to a shop, we're looking for things like that reduce our EM signature so we're not very detectable. Maybe, like, can we cloak ourselves? You know, how can we basically be as non-aggressive as possible? Because all we want to do is sell biscuits.
Yeah, dude.
You
know? I think his new screen name should be the Sneaky Biscuit. I like that. Stealth Biscuit.
Yeah. And you know what? Engineering was not as hard as I thought it would be. So,
well, that video makes it sound like it's
it does.
Because
it,
the way he clipped it together.
Well, it's a lot of stuff to learn. But once you learn it, you're like, okay, yeah, I generally get it. There's a lot to learn in that game, but once you learn it, it's not very difficult. I still think engineering is the most demanding position, but it's...
Hey.
Yeah.
What about Flyboy over here, dude? I was so embarrassed when I hit things, dude. My job is relatively simple. It was just aim it in the right direction and keep the guns pointed at the bad guys. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Well, I got some pretty expensive thrusters, so that thing really gets up and goes. So it can be hard to control. But yeah, when you hit something, the whole ship, just throughout the whole ship, you hear that dong. And then
everybody
like
knows it.
The siren goes off.
Somebody was like, why are we on high alert? Like, honestly, he wasn't asking facetiously. He didn't know that I had smacked into something 50 times.
Well, sometimes when you hop out of warp, you just, like, smack right into an asteroid or a building or something. It's happened to me a few times.
So my week has been strange. It's been shitty in the way that, like, just everything broke down on the same week. My refrigerator broke down, so I was without ice. Dude, being without ice is... you can't get drunk as fast, man. It's tricky. It's a tricky situation. Luckily, we have a backup fridge, so we were able to save all the food. Mm. But ice has been, like, the major factor, so we had to go buy that. My truck broke down. It's having electrical problems. I work regular hours, so I haven't been able to take that in. Sam's phone was not working. Mine wasn't working, so we went and got new phones. That's kind of like a highlight, actually. I'm going to talk about the phone later.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk about it right now.
Sure. I got the OnePlus 8. OnePlus is a new company. A new company for me. Matt, you know how sometimes, you know, you're going to buy something, probably like you, Bobby, when you're going to upgrade your computer, do you get kind of obsessive on the research side of it before
yeah.
you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I became a fucking expert on fucking cell phones this iteration right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is funny because his first name is my last name. So Marquez Brownlee, I think his name is. He's like the premier cell phone reviewer on YouTube. He has like 24 million subscribers, dude. It's crazy.
Wow.
He just does a really good job, and the way he speaks is very plain, and it just gets the point across. Mm. Anyway, I watched his videos, the same video, multiple times, dude, because I was like... anyway, he gave the OnePlus 7 Pro from last year phone of the year, and so did a lot of other reviewers. I was like, I've never even heard of this company. Mm. And basically, the reason they were doing it is because they're doing what computers are doing now. Computer gamers like is high refresh rates. And the big boys aren't really doing that. Like iPhone, I mean, they're doing it, but they're not doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So my phone is 90 hertz, but the 8 Pro goes up to like 144 or something like that. And so, and not just that, they're cheap as shit. They're like half the price of the flagships of other, but they're better. It's crazy.
So it says the OnePlus 8 that you have was $700?
$700, dude. And think about this, like, what is it? The Samsung S20, they jumped from 11 to 20, just to like, you know, we made an awesome phone. $1,600. So
yeah, phones are getting very expensive.
Yep. And they're not, you know, if you watch these reviews, this phone, and then T-Mobile gave me half off of it. So it's $350 for one of the best phones out there right now.
Oh, okay. But you had to sign a contract with T-Mobile.
They don't do contracts anymore. I haven't done this in so long. If you guys know,
it's very different,
if I'm boring you. So basically, they front you $350, right?
Mm-hmm.
They pay for half of the phone for you. If you cancel your service, you owe them that $350. But if you just continue with their service, they're going to be crediting you every month.
Mm-hmm.
That $350 or a little piece of it. So basically, they're fronting half of the phone so that you'll keep their service until the...
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a great way of doing it, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they changed that a while back because I was used to the way where every 2 years you get a discount on an upgrade or something.
Right.
You know? Yep. But yeah, they've definitely changed that.
And they just merged with Sprint, so their coverage is going to be much better.
Oh, okay.
Quick thing on 5G, now that I'm an expert. Mm-hmm. Basically, you have to have line of sight to a 5G tower, but you'll get 1.5 gigs down.
Mm-hmm.
Terabyte.
I don't even use cellular data, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
basically, faster than Gigabest on your cell phone. So you can get movies in 1 or 2 seconds, mm-hmm. as long as you have line of sight, though. Like, when are you going to do that? But if you do, like maybe in airports, they're going to have 5G towers.
Mm-hmm.
You can just fucking download the world in a minute.
Yeah. What's the screen size on this?
I don't remember. 6 point something. I don't know. It's pretty big. It's on the bigger side.
I'm still rocking the Pixel 2, man. Like, it's working out for me, but I really don't use my phone that much.
Yeah. But that's why it's lasting you, dude.
Yeah. It's lasting me forever.
Pixel 3 was maybe my my favorite phone of all time. But you know, so if it's not working, it's not working. Here, you could take a look at.
Yeah. 6.5 inches.
Yeah.
It's long.
Yeah, it's very long.
It's like a longer phone, but I mean, it looks good. And that, I mean, I'd love to watch something like high frame rate to see like,
the
frame rate, because that was something that the Razer phones were doing. They were advertising that, right?
Yeah, dude, the Razer phones actually have amazing specs, mm-hmm. For what it is. And you know, it comes with all those buttons, shoulder buttons and everything for playing games. It's a great phone too. Marquez had it really high rated as well.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad that like a little scrappy company is like killing it, you know?
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, worst things is their fucking name. It's so, the 1 plus 7. It's like, what do you mean the 8? No, I don't know. The 1 plus 8. And then they came up with a 7T. The 7 and then the letter T. Not the 7D. It's so weird. And just their marketing sucks, everything, but they make fucking awesome phones.
How much storage do you have on that? And is it upgradable? Because that's a big price point determinant.
The way I use my phone, because everything goes up to the cloud, I don't know why people care how much, because all my photos automatically go to the cloud.
That's what I say, but some people, man, people still want like people 64 say, gigs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, 64 gigs is like the minimum nothing. These days.
Yeah. No, the minimum is 128 or so.
Well, I don't know. I haven't bought a phone in years, so.
Yeah, I think I have 256, but it doesn't matter. Like, I'm never going to use it up.
Yeah. All right. Cool, man. Well, I'm sure it's going to take a while to get used to that phone and really get to know it.
Yeah.
And you'll probably be able to talk more about it later.
For sure. Next week. It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, we're having the weirdest glitch, dude. Me and Sam cannot text each other, dude. It's so strange. Everything else works. I could text anybody.
What happens when you text each other? Nothing?
Nothing. And so we called tech support. They're like, we've never seen this before. We'll get back to you in 3 days.
That's weird.
So weird.
Oh, man.
How convenient to a sniper. I'm already sweating, dude.
Yeah, it's going to get hot.
All right, let me open up the doors because it's only going to get worse.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Deep Rock Galactic. So they hit their 1.0, their official launch, May 13th last week, and it went really well for them. They've done everything right. It was really weird to see Deep Rock Galactic on the banner on the main Steam site. I was real happy to see that. Over 10,000 people were playing launch day, which was really cool. There were just so many games going on. I thought more was going to happen with this 1.0 launch. I thought it was going to be a bigger, I thought there was going to be more features, but you know, they did say what was going to be in it. So I guess I don't know why I was surprised.
And it's been a long road, like of a lot of very quality updates, especially over the last year, I would say.
Yeah. They've been
really doubled down,
really pumping out the updates and the changes. So the 1.0 launch was basically just bug fixes. It was bug fixes. It was some cosmetic DLC soundtrack. And also they raised the level cap, which was nice. And the level cap raise was retroactive. So there are some maniacs out there that are like account level 600 or something. And it tallied up all their XP and just immediately promoted them to like legendary or platinum or whatever their class was up to. Doesn't really matter for me because all my guys are at like gold 1, silver 3. So it doesn't really affect me. But it's nice to know that there's a higher ceiling there.
Mm.
Yeah. But the bug fixes are nice. You want to have that game polished. When you hit 1.0, it's running very smoothly. Everything's going great. And they also had a roadmap. That's actually what I've linked here in the show notes. If you want to check the description, the roadmap is really exciting. And this is happening sooner than you think. The next update or two, they're going to be adding new secondary missions. They're going to be adding two new biomes. They're going to be adding new enemies. Like they're really, as well
biomes
as
biomes are huge.
Yeah, biomes are a big deal. I don't even know what other biome they could do. They've covered all of them. You got the lava one, the ice one, the radiation, the fungus one, the crystal one.
Sand.
Yeah, ice. The sand, the desert one. So I don't know, but I look forward to it because those are some really core things about the game that are going to change it and make it exciting. But they're also going to be doing all sorts of cosmetic stuff as well. That'll be there too. And this kind of, let's see, where are here? There we go. Update 31 and 32. So this is happening in June very quickly. And then the next update, two new mission types. I mean, they're changing some big things about the game. That's happening.
This is what you probably expected for the 1.0 launch, like this kind of stuff.
I mean, it's kind of what I wanted.
Or it would have been nice.
I shouldn't have expected it because they flat out said a long time ago, our penultimate update is going to have some big changes, but the actual 1.0 one is just going to be all bug fixes. We're just going to make sure everything's working real smoothly before we go 1.0.
Now, those 10,000 people playing at the same time, you think that was the 1.0 or was that the DL Gaming bump? Like where?
Oh, we were part of that. We were part of that.
At least four of those people.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what I noticed when I was playing? Now, granted, I am playing Hazard 5s. So I noticed a lot of people playing were super high level. So I think a lot of people came back to the game for the 1.0 launch.
Right.
You know, like myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot
but
of
people, you never really left. I mean, you do your dailies and stuff, or your weeklies.
The weeklies, yeah, I do. Yeah. But it's been great. You know, we've had some new people who are very new to the game, and we've been running through it with them. And it's fun, like, explaining all the different things and running into all the new exciting things. You saw some new stuff in our playthrough, the treasure goblin. It's not called that.
Gosh,
I don't know what it's called.
Was it scary?
Because it makes an alarming noise.
Does it do damage?
No.
Okay, so it came right at me and pushed me. So my entire screen was its crazy face, dude.
Yeah, it's a weird looking thing, and it's very loud. Yeah, it kind of sounds like a murloc. And once you start shooting it, it screams even louder and starts running away. But if you manage to kill it, it works like the treasure goblin in Diablo, which is why I call it that, even though it's not its name. But if you kill it before it leaves, it explodes into a bunch of really valuable resources.
If somehow you've made it this far and you don't know what DRG is, it's Deep Rock Galactic. It's a 4-player co-op that's procedurally generated as you play. And just there's 4 classes, and we gave it Game of the Year a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. This is way before even 1.0. I mean, it was half the game that it is now, and we gave it Game of the Year.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about it today. It might possibly be a perfect game. Like, there's not a whole lot of flaws.
I mean, even on the Steam page, it is overwhelmingly positive reviews, and that's rare to have that on a Steam page, especially with the amount of reviews that they have. They also mentioned that they're going to be changing the way things are procedurally generated. There's going to be some more variation in that, I think, is what's happening, which is really cool because I've played that game so much, man, so much. And after a while, you start to see the same. It's all randomly generated, right?
Right.
But you see the same templates kind of play out from time to time. So Windows update, by the way.
It's basically like, so roughly they have Lego pieces that are pre-generated, and it falls together randomly. Mm-hmm. Right, so you can recognize the Lego piece that you've seen before.
Well,
or whatever.
Not really the piece, but like the general structure of a cage or a cave. Like, I've seen the cave that we were in today had this really long, narrow bridge-like structure, and then it ended just in a dead end. And it was like a really big cave with just this bridge going through it. I've seen that many times, like in different biomes, like that same basic structure plays out. You know, it may be a little more indented here. There may be a way to walk down there. Like, little things may change, but the basic outline is the same. So a little variation there would be great for people like me who play entirely too much. So Deep Rock, still a fantastic game.
Cool. I guess I'll talk really quickly about God's Trigger. I've brought it up 3 times this year, I think. It's a co-op to play. It's built from the ground up co-op. So that you almost have to. I don't even know how you would play this single player, because it requires 2 players to do different things. You know, your standard, like, you stand here while you stand here kind of things, all the way up to one. Oh boy. Somebody dropped the keyboard.
Yep. There we go.
It wasn't Bobby or me. I don't know who could have done it. All the way up to, like, there was a place, it's a twin. Okay. Let me finish what it is. It's a twin stick shooter. It's really fun. It's like a 80%, and you could get it for about $15. But the co-op goes all the way where, like, one person has Overwatch with a sniper rifle and the other person plays, which is always fun. You know, he's down on the field and you're, like, calling out who needs to die. And so that was really fun. I've talked about it a ton. I just wanted to talk about the last boss really quick. So you fight the angel Gabriel at the very end, and he has 3 forms, and they were fine. Like, just standard stuff after you're playing for a while. Hard, but you know, you're getting through it. First phase, second phase, third phase was crazy, Bobby. Like, I don't think I've ever seen this in a game, and I was super excited, and I had a shitted ingredient on my face the entire time I was playing it. My character, which is an angel, and JP's character, which is a demon, we came together and became one person. I was directing the movement and one other thing. I think it was, which way we're aiming. So I could move and aim. And he was doing the dashing and the attacking. And so we kind of became that character in Heroes of the Storm. You know, that...
Oh, Cho'Gall.
Yeah, Cho'Gall, that that character that mm-hmm. it takes two people to run. And man, was it fun, man. It took, you know, it took us probably half an hour to beat this guy, maybe 40 minutes just to learn it all. But once we got to the last part, we really had to like think outside the box on like how to make that it just looks like somebody's dashing through a firewall. It was incredibly hard, right? To get the timing plus the latency plus all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But we got it to work and we killed the guy, and man, we were really happy with the game. You know, it has buggy at parts, but overall it was a good experience, especially for $15 if you have a co-op buddy. And also, I just want a little shout out to JP Diddy. It's nice to have like somebody who's like your peer, because you know, he's like a family man too, and he's got kids running around. And so when we bail on each other, it's completely understandable. And we also have like roughly the same schedule. So we just co-op all the time, because I can walk away and he'll understand, and vice versa, which we've both done a ton of times. If I did that to a stranger, I'd feel fucking really bad. But I'd just shit all over JP Diddy.
So this, is this game innately co-op, or did you have to use that Steam Play Together thing?
It's innately, so it has online co-op. Okay. It supports it, yeah. I a couple of times I did want to...
Does it? Because it doesn't say on the Steam page. It says shared split screen co-op and remote play.
Or well, remote it play definitely play. Does, because in the game, I could invite him through the game.
Okay.
But we didn't use the Let's Play Together or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I did, because it was so buggy, I did want to try playing it that way, but my save was already on the online mode. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't switch to the couch co-op mode and keep our save. The biggest problem with the game, really quick, was that all the progression didn't really matter. We just kind of cut our way through the bosses. We never really used our special moves or anything like that.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. Well, I had an interesting week here. And if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I picked up Battlefront 2 for $6 during their May the 4th sale, or their Star Wars sale. So I finally picked it up. I figured $6, what the hell? You know, that's not much, and I don't want to get Origin access. And I've just been in a real Star Wars mood lately. I've been playing a lot of the retro games, and I have been feeling like something a little more modern.
Is this Kashyyyk, by the way? I haven't played this map.
It might be. Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, this looks familiar.
Thanks.
So I played quite a bit of this. I got really into this game and I really enjoyed it. And I was pretty critical of this game when it came out. You know, there was a lot wrong with it when it came out. I played the single player too. I wasn't super impressed with it. The multiplayer just, I don't know, it seemed a little boring to me and a little repetitive. But this time around, I really connected with the game. There's still some problems with it that I'll get into, but it just felt good to play such a good looking game. And it's like playing with action figures. Like, you're playing all the characters from Star Wars. You're really living out these Star Wars fantasies in this game. Like, even when you're a stormtrooper or like a low level assault character getting stomped on, you know, you're still like, well, that still was pretty cool, 'cause Yoda came in and just sliced up like five of us. You know, that was awesome. First of all, the graphics on this is just insane. And now that I've spent, we've said this before, but now that I've spent a lot of time with it, it really looks like the best looking game I've ever played.
So still to this day, would you say it's
I think so. I don't play a lot of AAA titles, so I'm not the best person to really judge that, but yeah. To me, this is the best looking game I've ever played.
Yep.
Yeah. I think a lot of that has to do, there's a lot of droids. There's a lot of people in suits. So you don't have to really go for the human look and really make people look very accurate. The weaker character models are the ones like Han Solo or Leia that where you see the face and the hair. But God, just everything, the environment, as well as just like the characters and the blaster bolts. It is so Star Wars. It really feels like Star Wars. And that's what I really enjoyed about it. You have to spend a good part of the beginning of your time playing this game as cannon fodder, though. Like, you are just going to get mowed down time and time again. And as you play more and more, you'll get more experienced and get better, but it really doesn't matter, because there are people who have spent a lot of time in this game, unlocked everything, and just have better abilities. You can unlock these cards that give you advantages during the game. And once you do that, you get kills quicker, you earn more battle points, you can spend those battle points to respawn as a better character. You respawn as a, like, you know, maybe a tier two character, someone a little bit better, you get even more kills. Then you respawn as one of the really good characters, you know, Darth Maul, Boba Fett, whoever, they're all in there.
And if you don't know what you're doing, though, you could get wiped out pretty quick as one of them.
Yeah.
You have a huge advantage, but you probably had the skill to get that character in the first place. You probably know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, what happens, though, is that the game is a grind fest. That's the main issue with the game. It's very repetitive, and right away you realize, okay, I see what I have to do. I have to level up my character as much as possible so I can be the most effective. I've also got to, you know, become better at this game skill-wise, but I also have to have the best abilities and the best cards all leveled up to the fourth tier to be able to be really good at this game. And there's people who have done that, and they can really turn things to a lopsided fight. And the majority of games that I played were very lopsided, unfortunately. What's weird is this game, you can totally tell they changed it. They changed the design of the game. Because, of course, this game came out, and there was all that pushback regarding the pay-to-win aspect of it and the loot crates. What they've done now is they still have loot crates, but the loot crates tell you exactly what's in the crate. And it's basically like, I got an upgrade for a gun that I use because I completed some sort of arbitrary quest. So instead of just give me that upgrade and I can install it, it says, hey, you got a loot crate. Ooh, guess what's in it? This is what's in it. It tells you right there. And then you go through the motions of like opening it and it like pops out. And
but you
it's
get
like,
some other stuff too, right?
No, it's just that.
Just that thing.
It's just like, ta-da, you got it. They make this whole presentation out of it. And it's just like,
you prefer it?
No, it's a vestigial part of the initial loot box system. Right. Like they just kind of left it in there. Now that in itself is not harmful, but what is I think harmful and what kind of detracts from this game is that the game is designed as a grind fest. And obviously with any grind fest, we know this from mobile games, what happens is at a certain point you realize, okay, it's a grind fest. How do I speed this up? And that's where the game would jump in and say, hey, you can buy these loot boxes and get a chance to unlock something super cool later. Or you can buy an XP boost and just speed this whole process up. That has been taken out of the game. So it's really weird. It just, it feels like a part of the game is missing and you're just stuck in a grind fest. And it's okay. Like,
but it's fun.
It is fun. It's got that moment to moment. I really wish the matches were more balanced. And honestly, there are some good modes. There's the heroes versus villains mode where you just play as the powerful characters.
Dude, did you play, who'd you play as and who's your favorite in that mode?
I haven't played as everybody, but I, of course, went for the characters that I really like in Star Wars. Right. I played Boba Fett, even though I don't know if he's that great. I played a lot of Yoda. General Grievous.
I don't even think he was in there when I played.
Yeah, that's another thing too. They have reached their last update as of April. And so many people are playing this game, in fact, that there was a petition going around, over 50,000 signatures on this petition to DICE to continue to make updates for this game.
I saw somebody replying from EA to that petition. He's like who it came in. He's like, yeah, man, I saw your petition. I know about it. He's like,
it was very passive aggressive.
Yeah, but there's another one with 200,000 people.
Yeah. Well, he said those three things. Three things, and two of what you just mentioned. He said, yeah, we saw it. I don't know what you want us to do about it. It's not our decision.
Yeah.
And then he also said, you know, there was 250,000 on the alternative, when he said alternative petition. I mean, it's nice that people feel that way about this game, but, you know, petitions hardly have any effect on these types of things, unfortunately.
The only one I can think of is Family Guy. That's the big one. Like, Family Guy got canceled.
Was there an actual petition for that, though?
Yeah, well, or just outrage or whatever.
I think it was the DVD sales that really pushed it. It came out on DVD and people really bought it up. And
I could have sworn there was a petition or some sort of, like, the internet was
maybe,
on
maybe
fire.
Maybe there was.
I don't know.
A lot of people were talking about it, but I think it was really the DVD sales. But anyway, I mean, it is a great game because I don't know. I feel like I am enacting Star Wars by playing this game. And even though it gets very repetitive, I mean, you can turn the game off. It's okay if you hop in for an hour and you have a great time for that. And then when it starts bugging you, you hop out. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that at the end of the day, I guess. And it just looks so good. And it does so well at just recreating, like making you feel like you are in Star Wars. I've been rewatching the sequel trilogy this week too. So it's been a lot of Star Wars.
I just rewatched them as well. We watched all nine of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was better for me watching them on their own, because the only time I had ever watched them before was, well, Rise of the Skywalker wasn't out yet, but I had watched them with all the other Star Wars movies. So just watching them on their own, the three of them, it really helped me kind of just see the big picture in that story arc.
I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed Rise of the Skywalker, this time a lot more.
Yeah, I enjoyed all the movies a lot more. The first one, I was like, dude, this movie is actually really, really good.
I told you this.
I was never against the first one.
We disagreed the most, I think, on the first one. I was like, dude, it was a good movie.
Well, it's the same thing over again. But I started to notice little things about it where I'm like, man, that's actually very well done. And then the second one, like Last Jedi, I know that one's very divisive, but I really enjoyed that one too. Here's what I think about it. It's not a great Star Wars movie maybe, but it is a great movie. It does things that no other Star Wars movie has done. Like, it goes for a philosophical edge that none of the other Star Wars movies have ever even come close to. And I don't know. I think it's really cool that it did that, but having that be one of the main movies in the trilogy.
About like the have-nots versus the haves, or what?
I mean, there's that. There's also like that moral ambiguity of selling arms to both the Empire and the Rebels. And there's Luke's story arc of him losing faith in the Force and then slowly regaining that. And then Poe's character arc in that movie I thought was really good. Yeah. You know, him turning from this hotshot flyboy into more of a wise leader. You know, it's all on my Letterbox, guys. Letterboxd.com/RobertDigital. Good.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, everything that I think about movies, I usually write down there. Any movie that I watch, I log it, short review and a quick rating. So you can check that out. But I don't know, man. Sometimes you just got to like let go and just enjoy stuff. And that's what I did with Star Wars this week. And I'm having a blast.
Was it noticeable that you were missing DLC or anything like that?
I think all the DLC is included. Now, they had one thing that you could buy. Yeah, yeah. They had one thing that you could buy called the Celebration Edition, which is a bunch of cosmetic stuff. Okay. Voice lines and victory poses or whatever, a few skins. None of them really that great. I came very close to buying it. It's like $5.75 on sale. And I was like, dude, this game's so good. I paid $6 for it. I almost feel obligated to buy it. But then I was like, I don't even really care about the skin, except for that General Kenobi skin. That one's dope, but I bought that for $40,000, so problem solved.
What was I going to say? Oh, for all the Star Wars talk, I'm going to do my Boss Ness impression. Ready for this?
All right.
You saw no thinking you saw better than the Jedi or than the Gungans? Me like. Wait, I'm not done.
He does the cheek shake. Yeah, the truffle shuffle with his face. God, the Gungans. There was not Jar Jar Binks is not a character that you can play in this. Yeah. Good. God, he really got burned. neither is Rose Tico, but there's a lot of people that they're missing in this. They don't have Maz or Maz. God, I was watching a documentary, not really a documentary, but like this. Channel was doing like some sort of I guess like a summary of all the Star Wars movies and kind of a bit of a documentary before Rise of Skywalker came out, and I finally got a chance to watch it, and I didn't realize how like it got Phantom Menace got a lot of criticism for a lot of racial stereotypes in the aliens. And I always knew about the one guys, they start with the N. You know, they sounded like Asians, you know. Maybe they don't start with N. I can't remember the name of that race. Chat will help me out. We got some Star Wars nerds here. But also Watto being, like a racial stereotype for Jewish people. I didn't pick up on that before, but now that they pointed it out, I cannot unsee it. And then of course the, the Gungans weren't as bad, but they had that kind of like Jamaican accent.
Yeah.
The Narun,
you saw a big doo-doo this time,
Nerubians. Nerubians, is that their name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I'm trying to think of like one of the things that they said. Yeah, they just sound like Japanese people, I guess, that can't roll their R's or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Battlefront 2, I will probably continue to play this game. It takes up so much hard drive space, but it's worth it. Like, I'm like buying into the grind fest, unfortunately. Like, I want to get good at this game, even though it's just like...
I'm imagining those droidicas are tier 2. Like, you have to work your way up. Yeah.
They cost like maybe 1,000 or 1,500 battle points.
Are you the kind to save your points and try to get a bigger guy?
Or? What often happens in Supremacy, which is the 40 versus 40. Yeah. 40 versus 40, man. It is a like full-on war. So I really wish this was my initial criticism.
God, I gotta play this again, dude. I haven't played any of these maps.
Yeah, there's so much content. The last update was in April, so like everything's on the table.
Is the Battle of Endor in there?
There's got to be an Endor battle. I don't know if I've played it. I played this so much that I must have played it. Yeah, you can get speeders. You can get speeders on certain maps. When I first played this game, you know, one of my criticisms of it was I really wanted Battlefield. You know, I wanted something more strategic. Yeah. This game definitely isn't. They don't even have a map. They have a mini map, but they don't have a map where you can see like, okay, here's the whole layout of the battlefield. Yeah. These are where these points are.
It really is like what you're saying, like action figures, because like you just like smashing them together.
Yeah, the respawn
they just spawn
time,
and smash together.
Yeah, dude, the respawn time is so short in Battlefront 2 that oftentimes you don't even have enough. Like by the time you pick your character, you are like ready to go. So the respawn time is like 5 seconds.
Dude, Darth Maul came into our spawn one time and it was stupid, dude. He got like 45 kills in whatever, a few minutes.
Yeah.
Because we just kept respawning.
They are so like, and the problem is, to answer your question from earlier, the problem with saving up for those better characters, the ones that cost 4,000 like Darth Maul, there are people in there who have like the bounty hunter card maxed out. So they build battle points faster and they know exactly what to do to get the quickest amount of, or get battle points super fast. So they just basically race to get that and then they spawn. And you can only have one of those per game. So a lot of times those four slots get taken up.
But the battle points them accumulating those battle points are helping this team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually, unless you're just farming like some of the bots in the game. It's unfortunate that the game can really turn on just one person. That makes one person feel really good, but then it kind of sucks for the rest of them.
Is the Battle of Crete on here? I think it's Crete with the white sand that turns red.
Yes, that map is on there, and it takes place mostly inside. And then they have that big open area out there that you can go into. But I don't know if it does like the whole red footprints. Battle of Crete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, so Battlefront 2, $6. Hopefully you guys picked it up while it was on sale, because I think it's back up to 15, but that is just a ridiculous deal.
Bobby, have you played through the Star Wars saga on Lego?
No.
So we finished Phantom Menace, which was, you know, it hits all the major plot points, but we got into Attack of the Clones, and there's a lot more, like, different, like, the entire first 15% of that game is all in the speeder, chasing down that bounty hunter.
Oh, okay.
Like in the city. It was no Lego at all. It was just kind of like a little spaceship game.
Oh, that's
cool. Kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. The Lego games get pretty creative with those. I was really impressed with the Jurassic World game.
We played all the way through Attack of the Clones, all the way to where, fucking Yoda comes down and saves them from Geonosis, the power of
Geonosis.
Yeah, Geonosis. And Mila, I don't know how this happened, dude. We just watched all 9 films. We're balls deep in fucking Star Wars. And Mila does her Yoda impression, which is, hello, gentlemen. Come aboard my ship and you'll be saved. And I was like, what did you just do? She goes, my Yoda. And I was like, what universe do you live in?
Yeah, that is not Yoda. Does Jango Fett get beheaded in the Lego?
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah.
You see his little Lego head pop off?
Dude, and fucking Darth Maul gets broken in two, and Qui-Gon Jinn gets stabbed through the chest.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, it was aggressive.
Lego games are real.
You know what was great is Mila remembered my joke from that scene in the movie when we watched it. So you see Jango Fett's head roll, and she goes, "Remember, that's when you said good thing the head didn't fall out of the helmet in front of his kid." And I was like, "Wow, you were listening.
Wow, paying attention." Oh man, that's awesome. All right. So what else we got here? You've been playing some Risk of Rain 2?
I just wanted to mention it real quick. Man, I have notes.
Okay. Maybe I should mention here, we have a correction in chat. It is not the Nerubians, it's the Nemoidians. You don't want to get anything wrong with Star Wars nerds. They'll come after you.
So I asked Bobby to play Risk of Rain 2 with me like 3 weeks ago, and he's like, "You know what? I really just don't like that game." Yeah. And I was like, "I'm glad that you were honest with me, dude." But
it hasn't clicked for me yet. It probably will. It's a good game.
97% on Steam, overwhelmingly positive, 20,000 purchases or something like that. We've talked about it a bunch, but quickly, it's a third person action roguelike, a 4-player online co-op. It's $20, historically low, $14. I just wanted to talk about how I've been playing it single player just as my kind of like decompression game where I don't want to think, and it kind of like where Binding of Isaac used to be. Now this is kind of taking over. I'll just sit down if I only have a few minutes, because you can't beat Risk of Rain. It's impossible. There's no goal, really. The goal is it's about the journey, right? So that takes a tremendous weight off your right. You can't win, and it's not built for one person, so you definitely can't win with one person, I don't think. And so it's just nice to just go in, see what items you get. Sometimes you have a good one, a good run, and then you just take it for what it is, and you had a calming run, which is completely different than the online version, where if you do have a good run, it gets to the most chaotic, absurd bullshit you've ever seen. Not bullshit, but just like, there's 200 bad guys on screen, lasers flying everywhere, fucking flame. But when you're playing single player, it's just you and like 15 bad guys, and you just do your best. And anyway, I just want to say that the single player is also fun in its own way. And I initially gave it a terrible review because I just didn't get it, and now I get it. And so it works. And by the way, DRG is really good single player now too. You have this little robot that does a lot of the work, the side work.
Botsko.
And you can program him now. I saw that there's a programming station inside of the...
Well, you can upgrade him. You can give him different skins, and he can do all sorts of things on the mission. He can light things for you. He can kill things for you. You can control right click, and he can shoot rockets at things for you. He can also mine things for you, minerals, and also like the big stuff. Like he'll go get a gold chunk and carry it back to you. He can do quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very different playing a single player game.
Scarier.
Yeah. A lot more darkness. Yeah. One of these days, Risk of Rain 2 will happen for me.
So Remnant from the Ashes, right?
Yep.
Is that where we're at? So, Remnant from the Ashes is 78% on Metacritic. I believe it's a little bit higher on Steam. It comes from Gunfire Games. Bobby, I want you to click on Gunfire Games, please. So that's who made it. But when you click on it, it just takes you to the publisher for some reason. It works for you. Okay, so I guess they make the Darksider games. Can you go back? It didn't work for me. Click on, Perfect World Entertainment. That's the publisher. Once I looked at the publisher, I just realized that I like every single game that I've played of them. They make the Torchlight series, Champions Online. I have like 300 hours in. Star Trek Online is supposed to be really good, and they make this game. So I might take a look at the games that I haven't played, something called Livelock and a Neverwinter game, because they're batting 1,000 with me already. So I like, supporting publishers that make good stuff. But anyway, back to Remnant, which for some reason, it's one of those words that I just could not spell, dude. Just M going directly into an N doesn't make sense in my head. I had such a hard time making notes. I don't know why. So it's $40. A historic low on Steam was $24. It's a third-person action RPG. It was really hard for us to describe this game when we put it on the radar, and then even when Ray played it, because I think he didn't play it very much. But it's a genre meshing game. So you have some Souls-like stuff in there where, like, you have your campfire or whatever, the gem that replaces the campfire, and you don't get another save point until you get to the other gem. You have to get there. You have to be patient, like a Souls game. You know, you can't just spam. There's a lot of, like, using the right thing at the right time kind of stuff, but not all the way. I wouldn't say completely Souls-like. It's not a Souls-like game. Because you have a fucking shotgun or a hunting rifle or a pistol, there's three classes, and I really like the simplicity here. There's the front guy, there's the mid guy, and there's the long-range guy, and that's it. Like, and the other thing that makes it Souls-like is that, like, you're not getting all kinds of gear and upgraded all the time like Diablo. Mm-hmm. You take what you got, and you upgraded the shit out of it until something better comes along, and that upgrade might be not as good as what you've upgraded already, but the potential is higher, right? So you have to make that decision, like, do mm-hmm. I switch to this new thing and upgrade that, or do I go with what I've been going with so far? So there's that. Let's see. Yeah, there's a nice mix between shooting and melee, and so you have your pistol or one-handed gun. You have your two-handed gun, and you have your melee. And there's just a really nice mix. Everything about this game just flows very nicely. The combat's smooth. When you're dodging things, you're actually dodging them. There's not a dodge. You know, you don't have mm-hmm. whatever dexterity that, like, you know, the dice aren't dodging for you. Yeah. You're actually dodging everything. And everything is dodgeable if you know what you're doing, right? The very base guy, he throws like a dagger. You can see the dagger coming, and you can just walk around it in real time, and it feels very satisfying. Just that one thing, that one move. But you take that to the next guy and the next guy, and they all have their own moves, and you have to, like, you know, learn each one of them and what they do. And but it's online co-op, which is unlike other Souls game. Usually these are single player, so they put a lot of different things in it, because you could probably just cheese it, right? Like the first boss, let's say he's like this big sword wielding dude. We could like, if it was just me and JP Diddy, we could probably just kite him around corners and just take pop shots until he's dead. Right. Mm-hmm. But they threw in these like suicide bomber, crazy, scary things that he summons. And so it keeps you honest, because you got to just keep fighting these things off while you're fighting him. And it keeps you from cheesing it away, like, mm-hmm. like just, you know, breaking the game that way. So
yeah.
I thought that was really creative.
Huh.
Let's see. The UI is intuitive. It just works. It's really easy upgrading. You just go, oh, what I want to upgrade, I just upgrade this. Comparing items doesn't happen very often, because there aren't not very many items, but it's very obvious if you want to make a switch. The bosses, man, shit, I was so scared. This sword guy that I'm talking about, genuinely scared. Like, it's one of these things where you have to check behind your shoulder to see how close he is, and sometimes he's a lot closer than other times, you know, because we died 30 times probably trying to kill this guy, and it was so satisfying when we finally did it. The second boss was that big tree ant, that guy. Dude, he doesn't have... It's one of these weird things. This game does a lot of things right. A lot of times you'll fight something and then it gets stronger in its second phase. This thing actually got weaker in its second phase because we blew its legs off. But we're so depleted by then. All our heals are gone. All our ammo is gone. That it's almost hard in that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, and he has so many attacks and he can one-shot you. It was crazy. Yeah. Cool little picture with the guy jumping in the mall. That you cannot melee this guy. He'll step on you and he'll crush you in one hit. But he was a lot of fun and scary as well. The boss fights are like a staple with Souls games, right? The one thing that really bothers me about this game, and there's only one complaint, like, I love this game. I'm having so much fun. Think about, like, if you ever played a Souls-like, but now you have your buddies with you. Like, it's fucking awesome. It's, like, really cool way to play something like this. And then adding the guns was just a really clever. And it's really working out exactly like I said it. Like, I'm within 10 feet of the monsters. he's within 15 feet. I'm sure if we had a long range guy, he'd be within 20 feet or whatever. Like, it just, you work with it, whatever they set up, right? It just works that way. But the graphics, that's the one thing that really bothers me. It's not terrible. The screenshots make it look great, but it looks like a PS3.5 game, like between 3 and 4, I would say. It's just not a great-looking game. It gets better, and it's not what you think. So it's like this post-apocalyptic world, the story's pretty good. Post-apocalyptic, you think you're going to stay in this world forever. Next thing you know, we're jumping through dimensions to other place, completely different area, completely different lighting. We went from this like dank, old, rundown city. Now suddenly, for some reason, we went through the portal. We're in this like also post-apocalyptic, but a different planet, a different realm, and we're in like this sand place, kind of like Arabian Nights or something like that, and completely different bad guys. It almost feels like a new game, but the mechanics are the same, and you keep all your stuff. That came out of completely left field, dude, and I really enjoyed the refresh. Not that it was getting stale. I would have been fine with it staying, but having this whole new thing, and there's two other portals, so now I'm thinking, like, what's through those portals?
Mm-hmm. Change of scenery is nice in a game.
Super fucking digging this game, dude. Super digging it.
It seems like they really nailed the difficulty, too. Like, they don't... It's not too easy. They've got it. It's not too hard. Like, they've really honed in on making this game challenging, appropriately challenging.
When that tree ant came out of the ground for the first time, where I was like, oh, hi, rest of the night, as a joke. And, yep, it took us the rest of the night. Like, we probably died 30, 40 times, yeah.
Jeez.
But it was so satisfying when you get it done, man.
This game's $40. That's, I mean, that's not cheap.
Yeah, I got it for $24.
Yeah, it was on sale not too long ago.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago.
That's when I picked it up.
$24. Yeah, hopefully it'll be on sale again. All right. Let's take a call in here.
Oh, we got one.
Yes, we do. Witty, are you there?
I am.
All right. Welcome to the show.
What's up, Witty?
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. So I think this is the first time we've spoken. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What kind of games do you like to play?
All right. I mostly play ARPGs, a lot of FPS, but I would say I play just about everything.
Yeah. What's your favorite ARPG?
Yeah, mostly right now it's Path of Exile. It's like all I've been playing lately.
Gotcha. Did you get through did you play Wolsen, and what did you think of that?
Did not play Wolsen at all. I was playing another game at the time. And I stayed away from it due to its problems. So I haven't gotten into it after they fixed those problems yet. But
I wouldn't even say they fixed them, man. It's like a buggy fucking game, but it's good. It's good despite its problems.
Is it still in early access, or was that?
No, it's complete. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the best looking ARPG out there too, I think.
Yeah.
Waiting on that Diablo 4 and the Path of Exile 2.
Well, you're going to be waiting a while for Diablo 4, unfortunately. But maybe the remaster. Are you excited about the possible remaster of Diablo 2?
I mean, is it StarCraft remastered or is it Warcraft 3 remastered? It depends which Blizzard we're going to get.
Yeah, isn't that always the case?
That's a good point.
Well, the case now.
So I brought this up to Chad. Like, I was like, dude, what's up with your company, bro? Like, what's going on? He's like, think about it. He's like, every other thing that we put out is pretty awesome. Like, he says that they're batting 50% right now. And he's like, that 50% that comes out is good. And I was like, I guess, man. It used to be 100% you were batting over there. Suddenly you joined and it's all bullshit. How long have you been listening to the podcast and where'd you find this? And
So I started listening, say around October or September of last year. It was like Ray's last 5 or 6 episodes.
Oh, okay.
So that's when I had started.
Cool.
Just listening while at work.
Well, welcome to the fold, and thank you for the support.
You're
about to win all your money back, dude, from Patreon.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully.
And it's all going to go right back in.
Appreciate it.
So the sound was posted in there. Hopefully you had a chance to listen to it. We have been playing it, and the hint is dragon, right? That's the only hint we've given out.
Yeah, I guess I can put another one out, but do we give it a hint before? Yeah, right?
Yeah, if now's you got a hint, drop it.
Let's go with mountains.
Mountains?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let me play that once for you here. That's loud. Right in your ear. All right.
Any so that guesses? Kind of just backs up my answer.
Okay. Which is?
Go for it right now?
Yeah.
Right, go for it.
Here's the time.
All right. So the sound is from Skyrim.
Right. Good.
And I do believe... So there's like two cases I've heard the sound. It's one in a shout that you use and another in a shout that a dragon uses. Named Alduin, which is the final boss in Skyrim.
Right. Correct.
I forgot what the... I have a complicated relationship with Skyrim, so this sound isn't very familiar to me, but I forgot for a moment what it was, so I was going to wait for your confirmation.
Okay. I know what it is. I know what it's called. If you get close, what are you going to call it? What's it called, or who does it, or what's the deal?
So it sounds like the clear the skies shout that the player uses in the game besides the shout and or just like Alduin dying.
That is the wrong shout. Should we get to him anyway?
Is that the wrong shout?
Oh, it's the wrong shout?
Yeah. It's your call,
man. It's not clear the skies?
I don't know what the shout is.
Well, Bobby had it.
I lost the name of it.
You know, it's Unrelenting Force is what he had put it.
Unrelenting Force. So that's the one you get.
Yeah.
From the mountaintop.
Right.
There is I looked up shouts in Skyrim and I got like two different stories. And I think that's what you're saying here. There are shouts that other people have and shouts that you have.
Right.
So I think that's why there are a lot of different names.
Well, I gave it away. We have to give it to him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. We got to give it to him.
Ding, ding, ding. Give him the ding, 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 ding.
There we go. You got it, man.
If you want to definitely listen to them side by side, they're very, very, very similar. So.
Yeah, we had them both, and we actually chose which one was better, because one of them has the guttural, like, he's like, whata, and then it does.
Yeah.
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 And then, so, it would have gave it away right away. I was like, no, that's too easy. Let's go with the mountain.
So, you thought it was too easy. I don't know. I'm not too familiar with those.
3 weeks, yeah.
But, so, you're saying the one that we played, that's the one that the dragon does in the game.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yep.
I think I am on, like, literally on the last boss in Skyrim, and I've just never got around to completing it. I got to give that game a real effort again. I got to go back in and actually try.
But I wish consoles, like, tracked your hours better, because I played Skyrim between different consoles, and I've so many, probably 1,000-plus hours.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm in the 400 range, I would say.
Do consoles have mod support, though? Can you mod Skyrim?
Not like PC, not even close. Okay. But they did start, right? Didn't they? Can you go to... You know better than I, Woody. I think you can, right?
Oh, but before we go any further, I stopped playing consoles in 2014. I'm fully PC.
Fuck yeah! God damn right you are.
Just putting that out there. PC Master Race all the way. not that there's anything wrong with playing a console. There's lots of reasons people play consoles, you know. But if you can get a PC, highly recommend it. Also, anybody listening who hasn't joined the Discord and hasn't called in should definitely do so. Very, very awesome community here. I hopped in one day. There were like 6-7 different people. Didn't know any of them. They all said hello to me and introduced themselves. And then I played a bunch of games with them. And then... It was awesome. It was fun.
Thanks, homie.
It was great. Awesome.
Yeah, the Discord's in a really great spot right now.
Yeah, the way it's working, it's like, and this, I only say this because you were one of the, like, I don't know, 10 people this happened to over the last 3 months. People joined the Discord, enjoyed it so much, and became a patron almost immediately. It's great. But just because they're like...
Yeah. The Discord might be more popular than the podcast at this point.
Where everybody knows your name. Like, everybody just says hi when you show up.
Yeah.
Well, it was pretty easy to find the podcast because I just searched around Spotify, literally just typed in PC Gaming Podcast, and this is like top five on Spotify when you type that in. So
I'm glad you said that, because Sniper said we're like under 300. Oh, he put gaming.
Yeah, and we're like, gaming's so large, but PC gaming's actually a very much smaller demographic of a very huge demographic.
And, yeah, but we got bigger dicks, dude. It makes up for it.
Yeah. Apparently, we're huge in Estonia, though.
Oh, yeah.
We're number three in Estonia, according to
That's one of them Baltic states.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, so shout out to all Estonian fans out there.
Well, congratulations, dude. We're going to send you $30 worth of used G.I. Joes. How do you feel about that?
Awesome. I'll use it to more Patreon and, I guess, more in CDS.
Nice. Oh, you bought it. What'd you think?
Yeah.
Not your thing.
It's not amazing, but it's not bad. It's like an acquired taste for me, and I'm like, it's because I'm putting it on different things, okay, and I'm finding it better on certain things.
For
and
sure.
Some of the things I put it on, I put too much on, and it can overpower the food. But if you just put a little bit on there, you get that nice spice, you get some crunch. I presume it's healthy.
Yeah, it's pretty healthy.
Yeah,
it's healthy fats.
It's seeds, so.
Yeah, seeds and olive oil.
Yeah, so it's pretty nice. And like, now that I got like the ratio down, like the jars, you know, I got both. I got normal and fire. The fire definitely kicks, but I like it. The girlfriend doesn't, so.
The toughest part about it, dude, is it doesn't fit any boxes. We didn't even know what to call it. Do we call it a hot sauce? It's not a salsa. Like, we don't even know. So, and then what do you use it on? And all this, there's just a lot of questions about it. But people that like it fucking tend to love it. If you're wondering what we're talking about, it's Insidious. It's my hot sauce. And you can get it at insidious.com and use the promo code DLG and you get 10% off.
Wow. Doing an ad read during the call-in.
What? People were wondering, what the fuck's Woody talking about?
I pitch lined him right into it.
Yeah, you did.
You did set him up. All right, Woody, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for calling in. Congratulations. And that is awesome that you are enjoying the community.
Yeah, man.
That's what I'm trying to build here.
Next thing you know, you're going to buy DRG and you're going to be, that's like joining our cult.
Yeah, DRG.
If I start working out a lot, I might need it, so.
Yeah.
All right,
something to motivate me, give me an energy. But I appreciate it, and y'all have a great rest of your night.
Thanks, Woody.
All right, you too. See you later. All right. Awesome, man. It's always good to hear from our listeners, like new ones.
Yeah, and like what their experience coming in was.
Yeah.
Because we know everybody else is, we paid them to become fans, and now they're here, and they were stuck forever. But new ones. Oh, excuse me.
All right. Well, it is time for On the Radar. These are the games that have come to our attention recently, games that we're interested in but have not played. And the first one up is Scrap Mechanic Survival. This was something that you posted, Emilio, and it seemed like you're pretty excited about posting it.
Yeah, I don't know if I was drunk at the time, but I don't think this is a game that I would play, but I know a lot of people would be interested in. So it has a few things going on here. So there is the survival part is basically like wave survival. These robots attack you or whatever. The cool thing about it, or what I found really cool about it, and there's another game that has this inside of it that we're going to talk about later, is when you build something, it's not a pre-set up. Like if you make a car, it's not a pre-built car. There's pieces, mm-hmm, and you just build whatever you want. So everything ends up looking super janky, but you can basically build whatever you want. Like that raft is not a predetermined raft. There's not a blueprint. You just piece things together as you would in real life if you were an engineer, and with crazy materials. And you just make these crazy fucking buildings. You can make conveyor belts, all that kind of stuff, buildings. Everything is not pre-set up. Just the Lego blocks are pre-set up. And you build whatever you want, and you can... So
how much is this game?
It's one of these things where like it's $20. You'll probably make a car in your first hour. It just probably won't drive very well, and you probably won't be able to steer, that kind of stuff. Time put into, what do you call it? Like a trial and error. So I've always liked that in games. But like I said, everything ends up looking real janky, but the idea is pretty cool. It kind of reminded me of a few things. a little bit of Factorio in there, a little bit of Kerbal Space Program, and a little tiny bit of it's the biggest game out there that was Battle Royale.
Fortnite?
Fortnite.
Wow.
But what Fortnite was originally supposed to be.
Yeah. That like
the wave survival, build your base, mm-hmm. and you have different classes. But it looks like they're building.
Funny how we all forgot what Fortnite originally was, dude. Kind of like how Amazon used to sell books.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like they're building their own guns too, which is fucking cool. So a lot of customability.
That's a cool idea. It's $20. It is in early access. Yeah. I don't know. Axolot Games. That's the developer, and that sounds familiar, but nope, that's the only game showing up for them. Yep. All right. Scrap Mechanic. All right. Next game up, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 Remastered. So last week, we were talking about how just every game is getting remastered these days. Like, that is the thing to do.
All these
games are hitting that age where it's time for a remaster. And apparently Tony Hawk Skater 1 and 2 are on the board to get remastered. This is an official announcement, by the way. This is not a rumor. This is happening. They announced it on Twitter. They also released a trailer for it. I only played one Tony Hawk Pro Skater game, and it was the one on the Dreamcast. And I was never really into these types of games, but I remember really enjoying it. From what I can gather, 1 and 2 were the popular ones. There were some, especially later in the series, that were not very good. But 1 and 2, I think, were the big ones. So this is probably very good news for a lot of people.
Yeah, this one, like, I didn't play it, but almost everybody I ever talked to fucking played this game.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's played a Tony Hawk Pro Skater game.
Yeah, except for me, but...
Well, if you had a console, I suppose.
Yeah.
This is going to be on the Epic Game Store on September 4th, as well as all the consoles. September 4th? Yeah, that's not too far out. So they must have been working on this for a while.
Yeah, I mean, everything's done in 4K now. The textures are way better. I wouldn't say it's like a AAA game today. It doesn't look that good, but compared to the original screenshots and the side-by-side, it looks pretty fucking great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because Tony Hawk Skater, Pro Skater 1 and 2 came out when? 90s?
Who knows, dude. Yeah. Hmm. Probably.
You know, that documentary, by the way, I think that found a distributor, so it's should be able to watch that soon. I'm looking forward to that. We talked about that months ago, I think.
Yeah.
Waiting or Pretending I'm a Superman is the name of that. All right. Next up, Virtuaverse. This game, Jens actually recommended this one, and it looks right up my alley. This is a point-and-click adventure, cyberpunk, pixel art.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
I mean, I don't even want to go into too much detail here. I don't really need to. It's just, you know, it's all the right things, and it's been a while since I've played a point-and-click adventure game, so I'm kind of feeling ready to enter back into that world. It's $15. It's out right now. You can grab it. Check it out. See if you like it.
This is like when Curse of the Dead Gods was announced, and it was like this action or roguelike. It just looked great, and it was just had every... I was reading the list, and I was like, yeah. And it was just like bought in day one.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you got to be careful, though, because they'll advertise all these different things that they know are like super hot buzzwords.
Yeah.
This used to happen a lot, like maybe 5 years ago. We went through this phase where everything that came out was like, you know,
roguelike elements,
roguelike, procedurally generated, blah, blah, blah. It was all these buzzwords. And it was like, and they would always do this. They'd say it's a mix of, and then they'd list like the most popular games in gaming history ever. Like, like really, like that's... It was totally just misrepresenting the game as well. All right, next up is Sea of Craft.
So this is the other game that has a lot of what I was talking about from Scrap Mechanic. So you build your... it's like BattleBots on the high seas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you build your own ship out of pre-picked parts, and then you just ram it into other boats and see who sinks first. It looks like some sort of like like gladiatorial games. But it keeps cutting away to this like grand battle with a bunch of ships, but it never shows gameplay of that. Just
well, there's online PvP and also online co-op. So I'm not sure how that really splits up and like how, I don't know. There's not a lot of details on these. The game doesn't come out till October 2020. What I've heard it described as is a mix of Sea of Thieves and I can't remember, like Minecraft, or I can't remember the other game.
Okay.
But it does feel like there might be some, you know, adventure to the game. Not necessarily just constructing your aquatic sea craft and just sending it
in. There's more to it. Yeah, look, there's city building.
Yeah, and it looks like people are building Water World here. So, I don't know. That looks kind of cool, but these crafting games, there was that one back in the day that I remember we played. Yeah. It was very popular for a minute, and that was kind of like it for me. I was like, oh, this is really cool. Then I got over it, and I never really touched it.
Yeah, because your fucking shit ends up looking like dog shit every time, dude. You're like happy if it rolls and you can turn it.
Yeah, well, what was that game called?
Something it had a craft in the word.
It was like robot something.
Robocraft. Yeah, there
Robocraft.
It is.
Robocraft, yeah.
Isn't it funny that you remembered half of it? I remember the other half.
Yep. So, yeah, I don't know. This looks really cool, but it doesn't look like something I'd jump into.
Yeah. Do you remember, Bobby, the... Siege, I think it's called. There was a... Where there's a castle or something you have to make a siege weapon out of... Just like this.
I think it was called Siege.
Yeah. I said, it's just, that's what I just said.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, that's another, that's a really good one because it's single player and it's hilarious. That's a, if you have an inkling towards what we're saying, I don't even know if we're describing it right. You're just building things.
You're basically playing Legos. You build something and then you send that into, well, typically you send it into a battle.
Right.
And then something simple could happen, like you could get knocked over and then you're out of combat.
Yeah.
Or you could find somebody who built something that really counters what you built. They knock you out of combat. Or, you know, you counter them. So there's a lot of interesting things that could play out.
Did you ever watch BattleBots, Bobby?
Yeah. Was that on Comedy Central?
It was on a weird network.
Yeah, it was
It was on the Guy Network, I think, for a little while. Whatever that guy,
Spike. I think when it originally came out, it was on Comedy Central for some reason, but I could be wrong.
Yeah,
but where they build robots and they'd fight each other.
Yeah, and there was always like some designs just excel, and they end up...
Yeah, there was like one where it specifically just tried to... It's basically people building their own little robots and controlling with remotes, and they'd send them into like a death match, like a caged death match.
Yeah, there's traps in there too. They did it again like 5 years ago. It was, you know, I always love that shit.
All right. Next up is Chasing Static. So a while ago, God, when was it? I want to say it might have been back in September. One of the very first interviews that we did was with Nathan, the developer of Guard Duty. And I really enjoyed that point-and-click adventure game. It was great talking to him. And he had mentioned at that time he's working on a new game, and he described a few things about it. He said that it's going to be a horror game, and it's also going to use sound. But it's going to be like an adventure game. Still, a 3D adventure game, very different than what he did before. And this is the game, Chasing Static. It is out right now. It's coming soon. It's officially announced. It has its Steam page. No release date just yet. But Sick Chicken Studios. I'll check it out just because I liked Guard Duty so much.
So I watched the trailer and it didn't emphasize that the sound part of it. So I hope that they. Or I didn't find that it did.
They describe it a little bit in some of the promotional material. It sounds like, obviously, it's called Chasing Static, so I think there's going to be some sort of static noise that indicates where you should go, or I don't know.
Sure, but all I'm saying is, how would I know this based on its Steam page? I need a little more info.
Yeah, on the Steam page.
Give him a call, dude. Text him. Oh, and by the way, the guano?
Mm-hmm.
Send the guy in that knows about Magic the Gathering. Although it was kind of nice that you didn't know, so people that don't know about it.
Well, that's what I had told him. If you don't know what we're talking about, a recent interview with Guano Maestro, he plays a lot of Magic the Gathering. He streams it. He's local in San Diego. We're going to have him on the podcast. Had it all lined up, but
he's covered in coronavirus.
Yeah, it happened right when the whole like coronavirus freakout happened, like March like 13th or something, yeah, yeah. You know, it was like at least the day for me where everything shut down. So he, we ended up just doing the interview, but he'll be on, eventually he'll be on the show and then you guys can nerd out on Magic and I'll just be lost.
Bobby, what's the closest that it's hit like to you? Like has a teacher from your school got it, a child?
Have you heard as far as catching the coronavirus? Yeah. No.
You don't even know anybody that knows somebody?
No, my sister, my older sister works in La Mesa at a hospital. So she works with coronavirus patients.
Yeah.
So she showed me like a picture of how she has to suit up every time she goes in to deal with them. And it's like a full on astronaut, you know, hazmat, yeah. like head to toe covered kind of thing. And they got to, you know, when they leave, they've got to completely wash down or delouse or whatever they call that.
So on an average day at my construction site, we have 800 to 900 guys there.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, like one of the elevator guys got it, which is.
Oh, so someone at your site has been exposed.
Yeah, and everybody knew that the elevator guys were the most exposed because they deal with everybody all day.
Yeah.
So they have a ton of fucking precautions. So I don't know if he got it at work, but that's the, like I work with that guy 20 minutes a day, every day. Or I did.
Dang.
Yeah.
now you start coughing. Oh God. Yeah, dude, it's crazy. I think we're up to almost 200 cases in San Diego. So shit's real. Speaking of Guano Maestro though, he made a great little voice recording, little trailer that we're going to play a little later.
Okay, cool.
Next up is going to be Waylanders. Let me pull this up here.
Pull it up so I remember what it is. Okay. So this is a party RPG. So think like Pillars of Eternity or Dragon Age, something like that. Some of the developers from those games, I think, broke off from their regular or from their old jobs, and they made a game on their own. So this isn't. It's weird because it's a real time party. Party RPG, which doesn't make a lot of sense because, like, usually it plays like Dungeons and Dragons, where you have your initiation role and you see who goes first and whatever. But this, you know, it's action, so you can take control of whoever you want. Your other guys just do whatever they're going to do in every fight, but you can pause at any time and change what they would have done or whatever it is. So you can give them some strategy. Does that make any sense, Bobby? So you can like, you're playing an action RPG, mm-hmm. like Diablo, let's say, but you have four guys in your party. So the three other people, you could be whoever you want in a party. You equip them, you take care of their inventory.
Yeah.
You probably set how they fight. But at any point, you could just pause and become the other person or just generally give them direction on what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go tank this guy, flank from this way, go stealth, stuff like that.
Okay.
So I think it's a good, hopefully it works out because it sounds like a really fun way to do it. Because
we've talked about this before, haven't we?
No, it was another game that's very similar. It has like a time mechanic as well. I don't think it was this game. But one of these games is going to pull this off, and it's going to be awesome. So.
Well, it's got some big names behind it. It says, featuring some of the top talents who brought you well-known titles within the genre, like Dragon Age, Mass Effect, and Pillars of Eternity.
Yeah. Hmm. So, and the custom creation of the characters, and man, I'm excited about this. This looks really good.
Okay. The Waylanders. No price on it. Release date is 2020, so.
Yep.
Not too far away. All right. And next up, Super Mega Baseball 3. I feel like we've mentioned this one before. Is this one officially out now?
Yeah. And it's got really good reviews. And the reason I brought it up, Bobby, is because I want to say last year you were like, I really feel like baseball. And then you figured out that there's no baseball games on PC.
There's no... I mean, the big one is what? Well,
like Baseball Simulator, I think.
No. The one on consoles, that's really good.
Oh, yeah, The Show?
The Show. MLB The Show.
Yeah.
That's what I want. So Super Mega Baseball, I played Super Mega Baseball 2, And it is a really good baseball game. It feels like those old baseball games you used to play on, like Nintendo. Like, it's just got really good game feel, but it...
It's not a simulation.
No, it doesn't have the actual players and the right. teams.
Oh, is
it's
that all, what you wanted?
That's kind of a big part to it, especially if you're into the sport.
Okay.
You know, it's got these guys that are kind of caricatures. There's an extra syllable in there I'm missing. But they got these really big chins, and it's a great game. Like, it's a great mechanically sound game for a baseball game. But yeah, it's just missing that one little element. So Super Mega Baseball 3.
A little element of the entire MLB.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd have to get licensing. You know, that has to be officially licensed by MLB.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's hard to get. But this game looks fantastic, and I know they've been advertising it a little bit. The graphics look like they've stepped up some. I'd be interested in checking this out, but I kind of feel like I didn't take Super Mega Baseball 2 very far. I didn't play much of that. I played like maybe 5 to 10 hours of it, and I was like, okay, I'm good.
Check the review on this, though. I think it's pretty high, 91% right now. Not very many people, but
129 reviews, 91%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are holes in the PC gaming game, dude. There's like, we're not perfect, and a lot of it is sports games. So it's just...
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate because I think it just comes down to reasons outside of a lot of people's control, like licensing, you know? Like, they just don't have the deal, or they don't have, you know, whatever. Like, they could totally make MLB The Show on PC. Like, right. That's not a problem. That could happen.
Well, you do need a giant developer because the graphics are like, you know, they're going for photorealism, and that's not easy. Mm-hmm. Not anybody can just do that.
Yeah, but I think that game would sell on PC.
Yeah, probably. But Sony, man, they keep their... If that was like an Xbox game, that it would be killing it on PC now.
Yeah.
All
right, last game is Blighthound.
Bring it up so I remember what this is. This is the... Oh, so there's very little gameplay, Bobby, but like fast forward to like 80% through the video. So this is a hack and slash kind of adventure, 3-player co-op. They call it an action RPG, or they're going like dungeon crawler, they called it. It looks more like a side-scroller beat-em-up, but look at what this looks like, dude. It looks like Darkest Dungeon if they were fully animated and you could walk around and just freely attack. Like if Darkest Dungeon was an action game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They look like paper cutouts, highly detailed, and all fighting each other. Or to think of like Golden Axe or what's another?
Yeah, it's a brawler beat-em-up.
Yeah, brawler beat-em-up. But that's not what they call themselves. They call themselves a dungeon crawler. So I don't know, but I think it looks fucking fantastic. And I said last week, I think when we were talking about Streets of Rage 4, that this is not my kind of game. But suddenly you add dragons and swords, and I'm like super excited. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Ronimo Games. That sounds familiar. Oh, Awesome Knots, dude. Hell yeah.
There you go.
Awesome Knots. Yeah. Fantastic game. Love that game.
And that's kind of their art style, too, now that I think about it.
Oh, they're very Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome Knots.
Was it Awesome Knots the one that had to calm down the titties? No, that was that was like a Awesome Knots clone, right?
It was a similar game. It was a MOBA, a side-scrolling MOBA, 3v3, and I can't remember what
it was. The titties were just ridiculous.
Yeah, I got like censored in some Asian countries.
Yeah.
And so they had the censored versions.
We can't have tits in our country.
Yeah. Ronimo Games. Wow. Okay, that's cool. That's got me interested now.
Yeah.
Because I loved Awesome Knots.
I thought you were going to love the art style, man. Check it out again.
The art style looks good.
One more time.
The gameplay. I'll bring that up again.
Yeah.
No, that looks great.
Yeah. I thought it looked fucking awesome. Cool. Matt, we're only on Out of the Radar. This is a long episode.
Nah, it's not that long. We don't have much left here.
Okay. Sure, buddy.
But this is from, hopefully you caught that last interview that we did, but I want to play a quick promo here from Guano Maestro, something that he put together. Okay.
Just let it run.
That is totally the wrong.
Oh, wrong thing. I thought he started it with that. He didn't.
That's what I thought too at first, but then I looked at the title.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay.
Can we find it?
We'll get that in a minute here. We had the wrong one.
He seems like a likable guy, man. I only listened to half of it, but he's like very outgoing and stuff.
Yeah. Very outgoing, very talkative, very, very knowledgeable in Magic the Gathering. And you can tell that he's got a background in radio. Like, he just kills it. So let's just talk a little news while we get that together. First up, Larian says, Larian Studios, guys behind Divinity.
The greatest RPG of all time.
Yeah, I will agree with that. Yeah. It's a bold statement, but it is true.
It is true.
This article is on PC Gamer. It says, Larian is playing around with Divinity Original Sin 2 and teases June announcements. This is coming from a tweet from Larian Studios. They're going to have some announcements in June regarding Baldur's Gate 3, which they have been working on. And somebody asked them, you know, that's great, but I really miss Divinity Original Sin 2. I wish you guys were doing more. And someone from Larian responded saying, we'll have something to announce regarding that. We're playing around with some, he used the term, quote, playing around with some.
I wonder if they're taking something that they have learned or programmed from Baldur's Gate 3 and put it into seeing how it works. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Yeah, maybe. I don't know if it's going to be a crossover between the two. It sounded
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like mechanically or program-wise. Some sort of mechanic that they put in that was great and just kind of like reverse engineer it.
Yeah, maybe. But either way, like I absolutely love Divinity Original Sin 2. I think it's one of the best games made ever. So any new content for that, I welcome. All right. By the way,
thank you, Zach.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to handle it?
Well, I'll do this one. This is the only one that I have on screen, but Killer Fuzz, who's my nephew, he's going to have a baby in 2 months and he now has 8 cats. I just found out this morning.
8 cats.
Yeah. Well, mother-in-law moved in and she brought 6 and they had 2. So now they have 8 cats and soon a baby. So it's going to be a full fucking house, man. But he said, love you guys. Miss you guys. Bobby looking good. Emilio's dad thighs are killing it. Cause I always wear shorts. Can't wait till the new Baldur's Gate.
Awesome. And you know, I was thinking of him because when we were talking about RoboCraft,
he was probably one of the guys. Oh, he built a dick.
He built a giant dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the TTP.
Yeah.
The dick dozer. he kept yelling it out, dude.
The dick dozer.
The dick dozer. Because he does a good macho man impression. As a kick. The dildozer.
The dildozer.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yes. We are super fucking mature around here, dude.
God, that was like 5 years ago, right? That was a long time
ago. Yeah, man.
God, how the times have passed us by.
This is how, when he was born, when he was a little baby, about Luna size, I used to pick him up and his brother would lay on one side of me and his sister would lay on the other side of me. And we would see who the baby would drool on, but Nick. And just move him back and forth and see where I would just force them to do this because I was like a punk. This is what you do when you're a kid. And now he's bigger than me. Could probably beat me up.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. Well, one more shout out earlier in the show, right before the show started, actually. Jeff, thank you much. Thank you very much for that subscription.
Yeah, thanks, man.
It's always nice to get subscriptions this time of the month. Usually we get them at the beginning, but we welcome them anytime.
Fuck yes.
All right. Next news article here. Steam can finally help you choose which of your games to play next. This is from an article on VentureBeat. This is talking about one of Steam's features, one of their experiments that have actually gone into Steam. This is the one that looks at your library, looks at what you've played, looks at what your friends have played, looks at what you have the most hours in. I don't know, some sort of algorithm, and determines, hey, this would be a really good recommendation from your own library of a game that you should play next.
I think the way it works is it looks what you have 0 hours played in, and then it cross-references that with popularity and how good the game is rated.
Oh, okay.
And then puts it up there. So maybe something you bought and forgot about or something like that. Mm-hmm. But there are flaws. So let me just quickly go through my list. Where is it, Bobby?
You there it is. Your list.
So number one is Borderlands 3 Game of the Year, or Borderlands period Game of the Year edition. I played Borderlands like crazy, but because I didn't play the Game of the Year edition, there it is, right? So that's nil. Mm-hmm. Adventure Capitalist is another one. Not my game. I never bought it. It's on Bobby's, but because we have family share, it sent that over and it put it on there.
Which I have. I think I played the second one, and that game is. Oh no, I'm thinking of a different.
Yeah, you're thinking of a different game. But you have played this, right? Venture Capitalist.
I don't think so. No.
Oh, well, you own it, and it's all the way up my ass now, and I got to look at it every day until I play it. You can right click and hide. So I did that to Borderlands.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And the third one is Sanctum 2, which Sanctum is one of these like original Steam games. I remember it being on Steam.
Yeah. Sanctum
forever. And basically, what it is, it's a tower defense game where you also have a first-person shooter. One, you set up the towers, then you defend in first-person, and then your towers help you.
Yeah, it's like Orcs Must Die.
Yeah, very close. Very similar. Like a proto-Orcs Must Die. But 2, I bought it and never played it, apparently. And it has really good reviews, and it works. Like, I want to play this now.
It's a good game. It's
super dated. Do you specifically remember 2?
Mm-hmm. I played 2, yeah.
Oh, okay. And I believe they introduced co-op on 2. So... So I might check that out.
So there was one good one in there.
Yeah.
There's one good recognition.
It's not without its flaws is what I was trying to say.
Yeah. No. Well, my problem is I have such a big library. I have 7,000 games in my Steam library. 5,000 or 6,000 of those are just garbage games. Yeah. So of course, whenever anything like this happens, it always recommends just some real crummy games. So
but it shouldn't because it goes off of like user review.
Well, the games that it recommended weren't absolute trash. They weren't asset flips. They looked like, okay, they might be kind of good, but you know, they had like 3 positive reviews or something. So yeah, I didn't get very many good recommendations from this. Not really working for me, but that's kind of my fault. Anytime this happens, my library screws it up.
Yeah, Bobby always has like weird complaints that only apply to him. Like, oh, this fucking friends list shit. First of all, you can only have 7,000 friends. And that's bullshit because, and the other thing, what was it? Something about like certain games won't work because they load your friends list from Steam.
Rocket League. Rocket League lags constantly because there's too many people on my friends list. I pared it down though. I actually only have like 70 people on my friends list now. Yeah, I got rid of all the unknowns.
The Russians.
Yeah, a lot of Russians. but I don't know. That is a cool feature. I'm glad that they put that in there. For maybe sure. It'll help some people.
Most notably, Warconius was like, I think he completely forgot that he bought Dying Light. He's been playing it and he loves it. He's like, this is such a cool feature.
Yeah, so that was a great game. I came in very late to that game, but really enjoyed Dying Light.
Yeah. And man, 2's been pushed and pushed, I feel, back.
It has. All right. Next article. Unreal Engine 5 is due early in 2021.
I feel like we already talked about this because it was, but that was before the show. So Sony basically paid Unreal to show their demo off as a PlayStation, not exclusive, but like this is going to be available on PlayStation 5. But obviously, it's the Unreal Engine. It's going to be everywhere. If you think about like really good looking games right now, they're usually Unreal 4. Doom Eternal.
It's a very... that uses id Tech.
Oh, id Tech. Yeah,
they have their own engine. But Unreal 4 is a very attractive engine for a lot of developers because of how it's priced. And I know they're making changes to this too, right?
So we'll get into that really quick because it's just one line. Until you, as a developer, make $1 million in revenue, they're not going to charge royalties. I think it's a fantastic idea. Ideally, that's enough money to cover your bases.
So until you make $1 million in royalties,
that's in revenue.
Yeah. That's when they start charging you.
Charging you, yeah.
And before, I think the way they did it is they just took a straight cut of all revenues, I think.
They did have something that was like indie friendly, but I forgot how it worked before. And the other thing is they give it free to fucking gaming schools, which is really smart.
Then everybody learns how to use it. They're taking the Adobe strategy.
But it's not fucked up, dude. Like, it's a quality product. It works. And now they're just trying to figure it out. And now this new system is fantastic, man. I just hope...
And hopefully it'll be more attractive to indie developers because that's really where it suffered. A lot of games used that engine, but they were, they were like those double A games, maybe not even triple A, but like they were fairly big games. And Unity has always been super attractive to those indie developers.
Right.
Just for that cost for that reason. Reasons.
Yeah. Even for us, like when we have to pay for monthly for something, like that's a huge thing in our overhead, and it might affect the overall quality just because we're a grassroots kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And even way more for indie gaming company, because this is their after hour. They're done with work. They go home. They don't have much time they can put in, and they let alone money on top of being able to use this. And then I think this is great. I think it's great that like anything that helps indie developers, because we've said it over and over and over, that's where the good ideas come from. That's where people take chances. And now if they can take chances with graphics, mm-hmm. it's better for them because there's a better chance that they're actually going to make money. On top of that, if you watch their demo, they have two key features that they really try to highlight. And if they do what they're saying they're going to do, or if Unreal 5 has what it says it's going to have, it's pretty incredible. So first of all, lighting's going to be super easy. You just set the light and what reflectiveness each component has, and the engine is going to do the rest. So it takes away hundreds of hours of work of how lighting's going to work and reflecting and all that stuff. Hundreds of hours. And the other one is even better than that. It's called Nanite or something like that. And this, if they do this, this is crazy. So the biggest problem with like these kind of games is how many polygons do you put into something versus what hardware it's going to run on? How do you put a slider in the game so that somebody with very low hardware can lower the polygons so that they can run something smoothly? Or if they have a monster rig, take the polygons all the way up, and then you could make it look beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so, games always play around with this. According to what they're saying is now Unreal 5 will have just, this is how much it takes, and you can put an almost infinite amount of polygons in, and it's not going to cost more per polygon anymore. It's almost like if you're running the program, that's good enough. And it's not going to chug when you hit that room that has all these particle effects, because now you get it basically for free.
So a little more of a level playing field, I guess.
It's hard to explain. I hope I'm coming across right. But
yeah, well, this is all very technical stuff that is beyond our understanding, but yeah. It's a new engine. That's always a big deal. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of improvements, and it's always a good thing. So I wonder when we'll start seeing games on this.
Well, it says full release in 2021. Unreal 4 is at Unreal 4.25. So 25%.
Which, by the way, that's the engine that Deep Rock Galactic runs on too.
Yeah.
I think they're 4.22 or.
So the takeaway of this for me, and a big proponent of indie games, is one, it's taking the financials out of using their engine. Two, it's saving time with the lighting. And three, they don't have to worry about what can run on what and how much if they're just running this. So it's really good for smaller developers.
Yeah. That also sounds really good for consoles as well.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, wow. Nick just gifted a sub to Discreet Creep. Awesome, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
All right, that is it.
He's so discreet, he hasn't even spoke to that.
He hasn't, yeah. All right, we've got that promo ready. So as we transition here, I'm going to play this little audio from Guano Maestro.
Hey everybody, it's your old pal Guano Maestro, and if you haven't been tuning into DL Gaming, you are blowing it! Catch their live Twitch channel, digital_logic, that's logic with a K, at 5 p.m. every Tuesday. And if you want to find me, just go to the Twitch channel Tuesday through Friday starting at 9 a.m. That's Guano Maestro. You can sub me on YouTube, join my Discord, I'm on Insta, the Twitch, and also Facebook for old people. DL Gaming is the shit.
That might be our new intro.
Fantastic job with that. So yeah, hopefully you listen to that interview and check out his stream, especially if you're into Magic. Definitely check it out. Like, he really gets into it. Epic Tryhard Phase coming in with the Twitch sub. Thank you very much, man.
10 months. Thank you, homie.
10 months. Almost at that year. All right. What do we got up next here? Am I going to try something here?
Oh. Well, what's it called, Bobby?
Serpentinas?
No. What's this segment called?
Is this correct? Bobby Tries a Mexican?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Where is it? Well, I've been warming up with my butt the whole time.
Jesus. You've been sitting on it? I don't know if this is sanitary, dude, especially after that elevator guy story.
So this is where Bobby tries a Mexican candy. Bobby, I need you to go in with an open mind because, like,
okay,
your idea of candy needs to be expanded. Because last week, your biggest complaint, although I think you liked it, your biggest complaint is that it was hard to put it in the candy bracket, right?
Yeah, it tasted more like a steak rub. Is that it?
Oh, geez. Okay, so this is called Serpentinas. Because it's a long, it's kind of like a fruit by the foot. It's just a rolled up skinny thing. So it's kind of like a serpentine.
It's got the ingredients on the back. Can't read them. They're in Spanish. It's probably good. Yeah. Oh, it's rolled up. It's like
a fruit by the foot.
Yeah. Very narrow one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there it looks like, it looks like pepperoni. And it tastes like, let me get a good bite of this. Really get in there. Okay, there's a grittiness to it.
Yeah,
it has. I feel like there's some dirt on it. It's a familiar taste, though.
Yeah.
What if I tasted like this?
I don't know. I haven't had one of those in a while. I would say it's probably tamarind.
Yeah, maybe. It does taste more like candy. It's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the texture, though. I like it.
It's like a fruit by the foot, right? Isn't it like kind of like a fruit roll up? A fruit roll up. That's where I was going.
Yeah, but it's not as gummy. It doesn't feel as gummy. It's a little more tough.
Yeah.
It feels like maybe a root or something. And there's a distinct grittiness to it. Like,
so if you're looking for like a pepperoni like root, then you've found your guy, dude. It's Serpentinas.
Serpentinas. Yeah, this one, it's better than last week. This one's not that bad.
Not that bad. That's about as good as it gets on Bobby's delicious scale.
Yeah, I'm a sweet and sour kind of guy, so when it comes to candy. So I don't know. Do they have sour Mexican candy, or they just don't do that?
It's no, they spicy. Do. They, okay. Well, it's always with spice, though. Yeah, sour spice. So, like, Takis? Have you ever had Takis?
I have had Takis. And I believe Chi brought that in one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. My fingers are all sticky now, so I'll have to work around that for the rest of the episode. But yeah, not bad. Getting better here. Serpentinas, recommend.
Next week, you're getting Salsa Getty.
Okay, that... I don't know. All right. Boo Boo Lubus?
I don't even know what that is.
Sam is recommending Boo Boo Lubus. Okay. All right. Listener questions. We've got three of them. Let's get through them. First one from Cammy T. You're given the task to create your own game. What is the genre, setting, and plot to your game?
Jeez. This comes up about once a year.
Yeah, we get this question a lot, but it's good because I think the answer is always different. I think the last time I said, I want a Star Wars game that's tactical turn-based. That's never been done before. That'd be a good idea.
Dude. But.
Yeah. How great would that be?
Yeah. Like, being realistic, I would like to be to make a twin stick shooter, because that's just what I play a lot of the times, and I feel like mechanically it's actually doable. Like, somebody out there who makes games wants to do this with me, we could do it. But anyway, yeah, it'd be like a twin stick shooter. I don't think we could get the Star Wars license realistically. But yeah, I would like to put my own flair on roguelikes, and see, you know, use a lot of the stuff that I liked. Or either that, or I know that Brawlhalla is supposed to be really good, but PC is still missing their Smash Brothers. I always wanted to import the Smite characters into a Smash Brothers type game, and I thought that would be really good, because it's already, all the abilities and stuff are already there, and I think they would lend themselves really well.
Yeah, all my ideas are Star Wars related, just because I'm kind of on that kick right now. I'm like, I want a Star Wars Pulsar game. I want a Star Wars Gears Tactics game. Like
a smuggling game, right, is what it would be, I would think.
Yeah, you could do smuggling, or you could be a bounty hunter, or, you know, you could just work for the Empire. Or who knows, man? Like, limitless. But the problem is, with that license, you're never going to get those really unique games. You know, Pulsar is a fantastic game, but that game is for a small amount of people. You know, it just is not, it doesn't have broad appeal.
Have we reached out to them?
I think so.
Or him?
The kind of like Golfit, the developers are very elusive. They don't, and almost to the point of secretive.
Like, they're always on the putt-putt field and you can't find them? Or what do you mean?
I think nobody really knows how many of them there are.
There's no pictures of them. They're always wearing masks.
Yeah. They may not even exist. Who knows? Like, who knows? But yeah, we are trying to get a hold of him, because I'd love to talk to him.
Killer, just ask the question, man.
Yeah, just type. Just type
it out right now. You're already distracting us with your incessant fucking typing.
Yeah, if you've got a listener question, you can ask on Discord, or if you happen to be in chat.
Sometimes, if it's appropriate, we'll answer it.
Yeah.
Well, by appropriate, I mean have a dick in it.
Yeah. All right, next question from Warconius. He edited a question from last week, so this is his version of it. Where do you guys see the podcast heading in years to come? With Emilio gracefully gliding to 50 and the dad jokes becoming more awesome, how do you keep the podcast sophisticated and mature and keep away the younger audience?
We keep doing what we're doing, buddy.
Yeah, we just keep on trucking.
Yep.
Easy as that.
Boom.
Next question from Lotion. What are some cutscenes that have stuck with you for life? For example, I'm certain Emilio gets goosebumps every time he spawns in the Binding of Isaac.
Cutscenes, spawns. Oh.
They do have cutscenes in Binding of Isaac, don't they?
Yeah, in between levels, there's like these little tiny, I mean, 2-bit fucking cutscenes where like Isaac will lose his pants and somebody will see his dick and they all making fun of his little dick or whatever, or like he'll poop and there's no toilet paper. Those are really funny. Mm-hmm. But cutscenes. So I would say like Blizzard has always done the top notch shit. Like, they do Pixar level stuff, especially
now. Yeah. With Overwatch.
Yeah. The Overwatch stuff.
Those aren't even really cutscenes though. I mean, those exist outside of the game a lot of times, at least in Overwatch. Yeah. I mean, they've had fantastic cutscenes in, World of Warcraft, Warcraft 3. Like, those are some great cutscenes.
The few classics, times, a little old. The few times, this is kind of losing it's not done so much because it's kind of cliche now, but there's a few things where like the cutscene will go straight into the game and the graphics don't change.
Yeah.
Those were like, what the fuck?
And dude, the game that I always remember being popular for that, maybe even popularizing that, was Metal Gear Solid 4, where the gameplay and the cutscenes just blended right into each other.
Yeah.
And of course, that had a big story that was kind of like the old Snake. I know so little about Metal Gear Solid, so.
It doesn't make any sense, dude. There's like.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
But I remember it was like he was really old, but I don't know. He's coming back to do one last mission. There was something very nostalgic and very sentimental about that for a lot of people. So I remember Metal Gear Solid 4 being like a really big deal.
So Injustice started to put it together. I really like that. Fighting game stories have always been dog shit. It's just like it's really hard to do.
Oh yeah, fighting games, they have the worst cutscenes.
Until Injustice kind of started making it better, and then Injustice 2, I wouldn't say perfected it, but then Mortal Kombat X came out and they improved on it, and now Mortal Kombat 11, like they have this formula that they're using, and to be able to put a story into these things, just like Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. I played it just for the cutscenes, and I thought it was pretty entertaining.
I feel like we're always grading those ones on a curve. I haven't played any of the newer ones.
It's definitely on a curve.
The last one I played, I think, was Mortal Kombat 9. Maybe it was 10. I don't know. But I remember it just being abysmal. But, you know, what are you supposed to do in a fighting game?
Yeah. Well, no, it's good now, dude. Try one out just for the fun.
Okay. I'll try it out so I can actually have an opinion. And I know Injustice has been the game that people have always talked about, there being an actually good story there. You know, I forgot to bring up this last week when I was talking about Jedi Knight. Sorry for so much Star Wars in this episode. But one of the things I really liked about Jedi Knight versus Jedi Outcast was they had cutscenes that were actual real life actors, live action cutscenes. They had somebody, you know, Jarek.
A la Red Alert.
Yeah, just like the old Command and Conquer ones. The Command and Conquer ones were super cheesy, and they, you know, kind of winking at the camera, and they'd bring in celebrities, and those were a lot of fun, and I do enjoy those. But they played it pretty straight-faced in Jedi Knight. Like, they had someone dressed up as Kyle Katarn, they had someone dressed up as Jarek with the face makeup and everything. Like, they really went for it, and they stopped doing that in Outcast and Academy. And I kind of miss that, as cheesy as they were, but I still do. I mean, those cutscenes, they are burned into my brain. Those ones I just always remember. Bach, the Twi'lek, like, had this maniacal laugh, like just some great, great stuff there. Low budget, but check out Jedi Knight cutscenes, man. Good times.
Dude, I know there've been other cutscenes that are just like crazy, but I can't really think of any.
Well, Behemoth always has really good ones too. Like, those are great just because of Will, what's his name, the announcer.
And the art. The art and yeah, his voice just go together so well. Dude, that I always, one of the games that got away, one, I always say XCOM 2, and the other one is the Behemoth game where it
Battle
was.
Battle Block Theater.
Yeah. I didn't play it enough. No, that one I played the shit out of. The one where it was like,
oh,
like a real-time strategy.
Not a real-time strategy, but
tactical turn-based game.
Yeah, where they had the hexagons.
Yeah, I didn't play that nearly enough. Like,
me neither.
At all.
I played that. I played it a good amount. Pit People.
Yeah.
I played that a good amount, but not as much as I should have.
Yeah.
Battle Block Theater, I think, really had the best cutscenes.
I played the shit out of that game.
That was a good game.
So our listener question from the too much caffeine killer fuzz is, Emilio and Bobby, this is the situation. EverQuest 3 comes out. Sam says she will take the kids away for the month. Bobby, you have off work for a month. The question is, who's your 5-man team or 10-man team to go in for a month's rate? I know what you're trying to get here at, and you're not going to be on the team, dude. So sorry about that.
Will Stamper was the name of that guy, by the way, who narrates the Behemoth games.
Yeah, there's probably a clip, Bobby. You can play real quick of it.
Yeah, we could, but I want to stick with this question a minute. So EverQuest 3, zero interest, man. Like, I've never played an EverQuest game. I don't see the appeal. I would totally give it a shot if I didn't think my life would be drained away, but I don't know.
So Bobby wouldn't be on my team. If I could clone myself and have four of me and Chad, that would work. Because Chad is good at analyzing how to beat things. So I need him. And then the other four of me would just run into battle and die. We wouldn't get anywhere, but it would be fun.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going with.
All right. We got a last minute listener question here. I don't know if this is for real or not, but what do you think? This has come from Lord Vrak. What do you think about Flash Season 6? He said, wait, I heard that they will try to make it a game. I haven't watched The Flash. That game or that TV series is super popular among my students, though. Yeah. Like all the boys.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Love The Flash.
Oh, wow.
It's been out for a while now, and it's been pretty consistent. Like, they're very into that show. That's a really popular show. Never seen an episode.
Daredevil's really good on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
But it was weird, dude. So Netflix was doing really well with the Marvel IP. And then as soon as Disney bought it, it cut all of their shows that were doing really well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, it switched hands, even though Punisher and Daredevil were fucking kicking ass, like, really, really good. And that even had a spinoff of those. But it all got the kibosh because Disney came in.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, before we end here, we've got an audio clip from Livingston. You've probably seen him around on the Discord. He was part of our crew on Pulsar Lost Colony, so you can see him in that video. And he is one of our patrons. And when you are a patron of the $10 tier, you can create an audio clip that we will play on the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Why I Support the DLG Podcast. I'm Livingston, and I support the podcast because my wife doesn't look at the credit card statement, so I won't get in trouble for my Patreon sub. But really, these guys have introduced me to so many games I never would have given a second thought to. Between Deep Rock, Pulsar, New World, Slapshot, and all the others, I'm never having to try very hard to find something to play. On top of that, they've created a great group of people on Discord that are always down to play something, so in these times of social isolation, I'm finding myself more connected to the gaming community than ever. So, you know, if you're enjoying your time listening to the best PC gaming podcast around, consider joining me and the crew in the Discord server. And if you're feeling extra generous, hop on over to Patreon and help them reach some of those Patreon goals. Livingston out.
God, we didn't even pay that guy anything, dude.
I know. Flattery awesome. Will get you everywhere.
He has a sweet, buttery voice, dude. He'd be such a better podcaster than me.
It's a good mic, man. He must have a very nice mic. Yeah, but you can catch him on our Pulsar YouTube video, which we need to make more of. That playthrough that we did on that YouTube video, there was a lot of learning going on.
Yeah, but and learning is not fun.
Yeah, it's not entertaining. but we will... We should record when we do our biscuit runs, and I think that'll make for some...
That sounds boring, too.
The biscuit... Oh, dude. No, you've never tried to slang biscuits across the galaxy, man.
No. Nope.
It's not as easy as it sounds.
I've never been a biscuit barterer, dude.
All right. Well, what are we playing next week? Are we both... We had talked about playing Kentucky Route Zero, both playing it and then talking about it. Are we going to do that this week?
Yeah, I think that'll be the game this week.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I can commit to that.
I don't know what the time to beat is. What do you think the time to beat is on that?
Well, let's look it up because there's multiple chapters to it now. But I think if we make it through a good part of the game, it'll be good.
And yours, you're going to fly through it, dude. I don't play point and click adventures, but it has a really good review. So we're going to give it a shot. Like really good reviews. People have been raving about this game for a long time.
Oh, 9 hours, it says.
Oof. I don't know if we're going to get that done.
In 1 week. I bet I can.
For you, can. Yeah.
Yeah. But, oh, wait, no. It says Kentucky Route Zero, Act 2, 1 hour. Act 5, 1.5 hours. So, I don't know. I'm getting some mixed messages from howlongtobeat.com. But it could be a while. I don't know if we'll get through it in 1 week. And if it is a point-and-click adventure game, some of them, you could spend a lot of time on one puzzle that takes someone else hardly any time at all. So,
right.
The time to beat... varies dramatically, but I'll probably play this. I think I'm going to continue to play some Battlefront 2 here and there when I have a little bit of time, and possibly Stronghold 2. Been meaning to play that game.
All right. Now, speaking for Bobby, absentee casters that are almost like ghosts now. LucasArts titties, everybody. Bye. Oh, fuck, titties. I should have went with Light and Magic. What is it? Industrial Light and Magic?
Yeah, ILM.
Yeah, ILM titties. That was a good cast.